In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor John Fallahy, as he shares the truth for the day.
Hi, this is Pastor John, discipleship pastor at Brookside Baptist Church in Brookville, Wisconsin. And if you're ever in Brookville, Wisconsin, please stop by, say hello. I would love to meet you, shake your hand, and extend the warm fellowship of Brookside to you. Well, we're in chapter 31, and we're coming to the close of all these instructions given by God to Moses directly on the mountain. And the question you may be wondering is, wow, Moses, you've got all these instructions. How in the world are you going to do this? All by yourself? And the answer is no. God is going to raise up helpers. And we're going to learn about some of these helpers in this passage today. So let's begin at verse 1, chapter 31. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship, to design artistic works, to work in gold and silver and bronze, in cutting jewels for setting, in carving wood, and to work in all manner of workmanship. And I, indeed I, have appointed with him Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan. And I have put wisdom in the hearts of all the gifted artisans, that they may make all that I've commanded you, the tabernacle of the meeting, the ark of the testimony and the mercy seat that's on it, and all the furniture of the tabernacle, the table and its utensils, the pure gold lampstand with all its utensils, the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offering with all its utensils, and the laver and its base, the garments of ministry, the holy garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments of his sons to minister as priest, and the anointing oil, and sweet incense for the holy place, according to all that I've commanded you, they shall do." So we learn that God's plans for Israel is not something for one man. Instead, it involves all the people. This is a great picture of the New Testament church in many ways. We are one body, but many members. And so God works this way. He distributes the gifts and the talents, the abilities. And it's intended that all participate to accomplish God's goals. And if, let me just say, if you're part of a local church and you're not serving in some way, you're in sin. Plain and simple. Now, it could be something as simple as praying, being part of the prayer team. Not all serving needs to be up front where everyone can see. In fact, most serving is behind the scenes where very few will know. The question is, are you serving? Whether it's visible or invisible, are you part of the body of Christ, making a difference, contributing to the service of the saints and bringing the gospel forth, for helping the church and other believers? What is the role that you're playing right now today in making a difference for the kingdom with your time, with your talents, and with your treasures? Returning back to Exodus, let's look at the first individual mentioned here. Bezalel. It's very difficult to say these names, so thank you for accommodating me as I do my best to pronounce these Hebrew names. He's a leader, and it literally means his name in the shadow of El, in the shadow of God. Now, his family, he's the son of Uri, the son of Hur, tribe of Judah. We learn in 1 Chronicles 2:18 where we get this insight. In fact, let me read verse 18 of 1 Chronicles chapter 2. Caleb, the son of Hezron, had children by Azubah, his wife, and by Jeriath. Now, these were Hur's sons, Jesher, Shobab, and Ardan. And when Azubah died, Caleb took Ephrath as his wife, who bore him Hur, and Hur begot Uri, and Uri begot Bezalel. Now, this Caleb is not Caleb the spy, in case you were wondering. Now, Bezalel, the leader, he is the one who is going to be overseeing everything. Now, there's some interesting progression of the language here. Notice that this calling is personal. He's called by name. And I don't want you to miss this, because each one of us are called by name. It expresses the sovereignty of God, that in God's calling, it's personal. and he calls us sovereignly, personally, to serve. In other words, we're chosen and we are commissioned. And the provision is done through the Spirit. We're filled. In the New Testament, we are filled with the Spirit and it remains with us. In the case of the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came upon them and it remained with them as they did these tasks. But the Holy Spirit did not permanently dwell in the Old Testament, which shows us the great privilege we have in the New Testament and in the New Covenant. Now, wisdom is the word chokmah. It's a term used quite often in the book of Proverbs, and it has to deal with knowledge, content, information, practical. Okay? The word understanding is the skill in applying this wisdom. So the two go hand in hand. You have the knowledge, and then understanding is the skill to apply that wisdom. And then there's the word knowledge, which is the experience gained that flows from wisdom and understanding. So think of knowledge flowing out of wisdom being applied in understanding. And workmanship represents the whole realm of activities to complete the temple. Now, we see this not only here, but in the book of Proverbs quite a bit. For example, in Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6, for the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So I want you to see that wisdom, understanding, knowledge all interact, and they flow and interact with one another. Daniel 1:17, we know this passage, as for these four young men, God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. An amazing gifting that God gave to these men in order to thrive at the time of captivity in Babylon for 70 years. But don't think of this just Old Testament. Colossians 1:9, for this reason we also, since the day we heard it, Paul prays, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So these ideas port over into the New Testament. Ephesians 2:10, listen to this, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So God takes his wisdom and understanding and knowledge and he applies it. He's crafting us. He's growing us. He's sanctifying us so that we would be his workmanship. And that can only be done when we yield to his Spirit and his word. When we deny ourselves, carry our cross and follow Christ, we begin to be shaped and honed, and we are to reflect the person of Jesus Christ. The implication here is that God equips his people to serve him. He is creating a place of worship, and through the workmanship of the men he gifts and the women he gifts, God is building us, his body, to serve him, and we are his workmanship worshiping him. In other words, we don't separate the gifting and the working from worship. They're intertwined. They're interacting with one another. Our gifts are for him, not for ourselves. And sadly, this is lost among so many Christians who have both natural gifts and spiritual gifts. And they use this sometimes for their own selfish means. Brothers and sisters, guard against this self-centered, man-centered thinking. Your gifts, your talents, your treasures, your time is not your own. You are a mere steward. And may you steward that, not for the enriching of yourself, but let it spill over and benefit others. If you seek to have a heavenly reward, then you have to serve others. But if you serve yourself, you have your reward. And this is a great reminder for each of us that we should never solely serve ourselves, but that we would serve each other. Wash each other's feet, care for one another, and make a difference in the lives of others. We need help from one another because we can't do it all. And if you're wondering how to do this, well, let me just bring you three simple questions that you need to ask yourself whenever you're doing something, whenever you're serving with your time, talents, and treasures. Question number one, are you doing this for the glory of God or the glory of self? Question number two, are you doing this according to God's wisdom and his word? Or are you doing this according to your wisdom and your ways? And number three, Are you doing this in the power of the Holy Spirit, or are you doing this in the power of the flesh? Those are three good questions to check your heart, to make sure that you are applying the time, talents, and treasures, the gifts, natural and spiritual, for the church and enriching them rather than enriching yourself. Now, there's a second individual mentioned, returning to the text, Aholiab, the assistant. That's what the name is. It means, Father is my tent. What a beautiful picture. Aholiab is the son of Ahisamach of the tribe of Dan. And for such a project, you need a right-hand man. Indeed, you do. Now, there's also mentioned the artisans. So if you see the hierarchy here, we have first Bezalel. He's the leader. And he has a right-hand man, Aholiab. And then underneath those two are the team of artisans, the support team. Now, they're given wisdom. Again, Hakma. In the hearts, that means the inner person, the mind. They're all gifted. They're skilled artisans to make, to build. So you can see the language here. They are just formed for this purpose, and they're going to be equipped to do so. And they would be trained by Bezalel and Aholiab. Now, the project is amazing. I mean, there's 12 different things that they have to work on. The tabernacle of meeting, the ark of the testimony, the mercy seat that is on it, all the furniture, the tabernacle, the table, its utensils, the pure gold lampstand with all its utensils, the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offerings with all its utensils, the laver and its base, the garments of ministry, the additional optional clothing for serving possibly in colder weather, the holy garments for Aaron the priest and the garments of his sons to minister as priests, the anointing oil and sweet incense for the holy place. I find it fascinating that there are these 12 categories. The number 12 typically represents completion. That is a full set. And that's what we have here, a full set of everything that's necessary for Israel to serve and worship its creator God. Now, it also says, according to all that I do. Two times it's mentioned in Exodus 31:6 and Exodus 31:11. This is to show us the divine origin. This is not something Moses made up on a mountain. No, this was divinely inspired, given from God to Moses to now these artisans. This is the work of God, though through natural means of men. And I love this picture of the sovereignty of God meets the limited will of men. Now, the principle here is God sovereignly and personally calls and equips individuals for service for his glory. Therefore, a true calling should always lead to obedience. If you see someone claiming they're called by God, but it leads to disobedience, that calling is not a calling of God. That's either a calling of man or worse, it's a calling of the devil. Though they may not realize that they are lying in the lap of the devil. So, as you consider this, the New Testament church light, God has gifted you and me, but not to rebuild the tabernacle, something much more glorious. And that's where we're going to pause. I want to return next time and talk about the gifting that God has given you and I to build up the body of believers, the church. Until we meet again, may you grow in the knowledge and understanding and application of God's Word.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program or have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.